Whenever you read here of Pharaoh and how he had caused enough hardship and heartache for the children of Israel, and now after their stresses and depression had been in some degree alleviated, he's after them again. And he's hounding them as they've come to the Red Sea. Reminds us of what we read in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and in verse 8 of that chapter where the apostle was writing there. He said, we are troubled on every side. And I think I've mentioned to you before that the word trouble there is a word that means to be pressurized from every angle. And also he says, not only we are troubled on every side, he says we are perplexed. And that word refers to someone looking a way out and can't find it. And also we are persecuted, which means to be constantly pursued. Cast down, as he says there, it is a word that means to be forced down or to be put down. And there's no doubt that that is how many believers feel in Ukraine today and in Russia as well, but in Ukraine at the present time. But this kind of situation is not, of course, confined to over to the Ukraine. It is, in some ways, the experience of the Church of Christ through all the ages and of individual believers. Because a message to the church is a message to individual men and women that make up the church. And for one reason or another, today, there are many of God's people who feel troubled. They feel pressed from every side. Some of them feel that there's no way out of their situation. Others feel that they are being pursued. We mentioned the word persecuted. Pursued by trouble, folks. Some kind of problem, and one after the other. And even cast down, that life itself, by their experience, is putting them down. Here in chapter 14 of the book of Exodus, Moses has come along with the children of Israel. Things have been doing all right. And now they are turning on him. And in verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Their mental state regarding their situation is not good at this present time. And Moses is beside himself. He says to them in verse 13, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord. And he's speaking here through what he knows the Lord can do. But in verse 15 is the words I want to focus on today. It says, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Strange words, you might say, because the sea is in front of them. The mountains are to one side, or on every side, and behind them is Pharaoh's army full of rage. But the word, a very clear word from the Lord, is to them, speak unto them that they go forward. So folks, they were going to go forward. There was a sea before them, but they are going to go forward. They're in the greatest of straits. But the Lord worked here in a most miraculous way, and he parted the sea. And today, maybe not just so much. I think the spirit of generosity and giving in Northern Ireland in the current climate, when the cost of living is going through the roof, and we're just coming out of a pandemic, and yet people in Northern Ireland have given so much to Ukraine. While it is kindness, it's an indication that so many of us in the land, we know what might happen. And everybody knows that there's that anxiety there, that what is there could be in other places too before very long. And in some ways, for people today, there's a sea before them. But I want to narrow it down. And I'm speaking to you as individuals, and maybe there is a sea before you. The Lord has saved you, and you've got along. And maybe you would never use those words that they used to be left alone, that they might serve the Egyptians. You're thankful that the Lord has saved you, and you're a converted man or woman, but you've come to the sea. And there's mountains on every side. And the enemy of your soul, the devil, is constantly harassing you. He's on your heels, suggesting things to your mind. Thoughts of doubt. Thoughts perhaps of feeling worthless. Thoughts of feeling that whatever I do, I can't go forward. Well, today I want to talk to you, and this is the title of the message. He can part your sea. He can part your sea. Now let's have a look at this passage just together this morning. I want you to notice first of all here that there is a reminder. Look at the beginning of verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? He was praying. I don't know how many times in the Bible we're told to cry to the Lord. And we see situations where others cried to him, and the implication is that this is what you need to do. And Moses had cried to the Lord, but the reminder here, men and women, is not that he didn't need to pray, because he did. But it's also a very stark reminder, first of all, that effort was required. You see, the children of Israel and Moses were not just bystanders in the situation. The Lord did the great work, but they had to see to their responsibility. It was now time to act. You see, prayer, which had been offered by Moses, and I'm sure some of them, was to help their action, not to stop it. It didn't mean they just sat down and said, I'm going to sit here. And if the Lord wants me at the other side, he'll lift me up and set me over on the other side. It's not like that. And they could not, they were in a very bad spirit, by the way, I've already mentioned that, when they're at Moses here and saying, as we said to you in Egypt, in other words, you got it all wrong, you didn't listen to us. They didn't say that when the gates were opened, as it were, and they were heading out of Egypt. They were very glad then, but they're saying it now, very, very quickly. And folk, effort was required. And in the Lord's work, in our experience of a sea, let's just look at Ukraine. And I mentioned that Ukraine, if you don't mind, a few times during the message. You think of how many, even some. There's some there from Northern Ireland. And there are other ones from other parts of the United Kingdom. There are people there from the United States. There are people there from the Netherlands. There are people there who are Ukrainian people who are serving the Lord. And many of them had the opportunity to leave. They know what they're staying for. And they knew what possibly lay ahead of them. But they knew that in order to reach the many, many, many people in Ukraine that need the Lord and need the gospel, they had to act. They could pray, but they had to do something. And they stayed. They stayed there to share the word with them. You see, they had to act. Similar words over here in Joshua chapter 7, where Joshua and those who were with him, they got a hammering. He had not brought the Lord into the equation, which was very unusual for Joshua. But it says in verse 3, don't let all the people go up. Their self-confidence. It said about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. Wrong. Wrong. They didn't seek the Lord. And then after their defeat, they sought the Lord. Verse 7 is very unusual indeed, in that Joshua is blaming the Lord here, one of the very few times that he did that. But it shows us again, he's only a man, and it shows him the importance of staying close to the Lord. But there was sin in the camp, and it had to be dealt with, and they could not sit and say, well, I hope that the Lord overlooks it, or I hope that it just goes away. They had to act. And if you read the rest of chapter 7 there, you will see how there was knowing the Lord's guidance, the searching out of the hearts of men until Achan was singled out. He brought trouble to all of Israel. He brought trouble to them. And they could not, you see, be bystanders. They had to act. And whenever I'm before a sea, while I have to pray, there doesn't seem to be any way forward. I need to try and go forward. Whether it means in sharing the gospel or in some other area of my life. So effort is required. But there's not only effort required here, there's words of motivation. Because you'll see here that he's to speak on to the people of Israel. And when they were hearing this from Moses, verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel. You go and tell them that the Lord says they are to go forward. And for Moses, possibly this was enough, because he believed that what the Lord said would happen, and he would endeavor to share with them what the Lord had told him to share with them, that they were to go forward. Now, I wouldn't like to have been in his shoes, because they were not in a very friendly frame of mind. And when he told them to go forward with the sea all there before them, I'm not sure what kind of a reception he would have got. But in the work of God, we want to all try to be motivators of each other. And it's very hard days to make progress in God's work when it comes to seeing people saved. And people generally don't have a great deal of interest. You think of other countries again. Think of just how hard it is in Ukraine at the present time. Wouldn't it be tempting just to stay down in the metros, way down underground, in a safe bunker, thousands of people outside getting shelled? They're there to share the word, and they're trying to bring the work of God forward. And as an individual, if I stop at the sea and say, well, that's it, I'm going nowhere, I'm not going forward, the Lord wants me, he can lift me over the sea and set me at the other side, stagnation sets in, become apathetic and discouraged and doubting and disinterested. And sometimes, and I'll just be really honest, in my life, there's been a lot less in the Red Sea before me. A lot less in the Red Sea. So there is this reminder here. We're thinking here of he can part your sea. There is a reminder that they were to go forward. There is to be action. The Church of Christ is to be active. We're glad that we're getting back to normal. And as we're mentioning to you here week by week, we're trying to get as many things up and running again as we possibly can. But there's not just a reminder here, there is reaction. Reaction, look at verse 16. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. Now, this may seem, on the face of it, like almost a fruitless exercise. Why would you want to do that? Well, first of all, it shows that Moses had faith in what God said. He already said that he had to go and share the message with them, but he himself now had to lift the rod. And the Lord said to him, you remember, if you know Moses' experience with the rod, how it was used so many times. And it was just a rod, of course, but he says you're to lift it up and you're to divide the sea. You can wonder what's the thought in his mind. What if I lift it up and nothing happens? I'm dead. Possibly. Stone him. But it showed that he had great faith. He believed God. You see, the action was necessary. It showed his faith in the Lord. And very often the faith of the Church of Christ, speaking generally, has to take steps that are stepping out on raw faith. In Northern Ireland, what more do we do than invite people to meetings and pray and preach? What more do we do? We cannot create an anxious thought, but we need the Lord to come and do that. We need the Lord to come and do that. Therefore, we still organize meetings, we organize missions, and we go forward in faith. And if I can bring it down to the individual level, maybe you're at the sea today. and there doesn't seem to be any way forward. But if you are to try and do what you can do, and then look to the Lord to do the rest, because that's what's happening here in Exodus chapter 14. They had to get up and to start going forward. Moses had to lift the rod, and there was the faith coming in. Folks, the Lord can make a way for you. It can make a way through the sea for you. Many years ago in England, perhaps you have heard of the downgrade controversy, when in the Baptist organization, of which C.H. Spurgeon, the well-known Baptist preacher, was part of, there was a great downgrade controversy, and he didn't like what was happening at all. And because he withdrew his affiliation from certain parts, there was one of his key supporters came to him. And I can't remember exactly what the lady said to him, but she, I'm not sure if she was aristocracy or not, something like that, very, very wealthy, and a big, big supporter of the work that he was involved in. And she said, because of what you've done, said Mr. Spurgeon, I can no longer support you. Big blow. Discouraging. But on the back of that, C.H. Spurgeon wrote the little daily devotional book called The Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. You can see it there. There's 365 little daily readings in it. The Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. And he said that he did that because every day he was looking by faith to the Lord. Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. Now, as you know, the work went on without her, and the Lord was pleased when it was in his purpose to use C.H. Spurgeon greatly. So when Moses here, his reaction was to obey the Lord, folks. Let's go forward. Let's keep moving forward in faith. We do as much as we can, but when you get to the water's edge and the sea is there, we're casting ourselves upon the Lord in faith to go forward. So it showed here he had great faith, but it also showed that an outstanding work could be done. He says to him here in verse 16, thou shalt divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. When people think of this in the Bible, mankind generally, I'm talking here, they always look for some kind of natural or rational explanation for it, instead of accepting that it was God doing a great work. I once watched a DVD, and people had, many years ago, people had, excavators had worked out roughly where the Israel would have come to the Red Sea, and in their excavations, I remember a man holding up a chariot wheel. And I thought, just to think, that's possibly one of the chariot wheels that the Lord threw off the chariots of the Egyptians. People will use all kinds of explanations rather than believe that the Lord is able to do a great work. And folks, it's good to encourage yourselves in reading in the Bible what the Lord has done in days gone by, and what he's done in our own land in days gone by. And when revival comes, true revival, people said all sorts of things other than acknowledge that it was the hand of the Lord. Over there in the book of Acts in chapter 17, Acts 17, there you'll see here in this chapter that there has been a great move of the Lord. And you'll see in verse 6 concerning those who had seen very notorious people converted and great things done. Here's how they refer to them. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Verse 6. In other words, these that have come and made a mess of our life and ruined everything the way it was, they're come here now as well. And folks, when the Lord moves in a remarkable way, don't expect the applause of the world. Let's be like Moses. Moses lifted up the rod. His reaction was to do what the Lord said. He could have been held back by doubt or by fear, but he did it. And it showed that he had faith, but it also showed that the Lord was able to accomplish that which he said he would do. I want you to notice something else when we're here. If you look at verse 21 in the book of Exodus chapter 14, you will see the raging wind. We've noted the reaction, and before that, we looked there at the reminder, but now is the raging wind. Look at verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The wind does not take away from the miracle in any way. People might say, oh, there was a wind that dried out the land, and that's just simply what happened. The wind blew the water away as well. The wind actually, the blowing of the wind emphasizes a miraculous work here of the Lord. And that is the hand of the Lord still. You think of a monk in Europe, Martin Luther. I know he wasn't a perfect man in any time in his life, but how did the Lord take a converted monk and use him to change Europe? How did he do it? He wouldn't have been the choice of any. But the Lord took him and used him to change Europe. And when you think here of the raging of the sea, there's an emphasis on not only did the Lord divide the sea, but the wind came and dried it up. Now, you and I will know that the wind blowing, however hard it blows, and however warm it is, it's unlikely to dry a seabed in one night. But now they're going to go across on dry ground. And it shows us, brothers and sisters, and do take encouragement from that. The Lord is able to do more than we ask, but more than we think. He's able to do abundantly above anything we asked or think. I was thinking when I thought of that of Daniel chapter 4. There, and the experience of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. And at the beginning there, Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all the people and nation and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. And then he tells his story here. He says how great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is everlasting. Now remember, this is Nebuchadnezzar talking. And then he goes on from that verse on to tell his story. Verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house. Verse 5, I saw a dream and it made me afraid. Now, he is settled in his house here. It seems that he has everything, and he's absolutely fine without the Lord. But then he's shaken, because he's now realizing that he's unsettled, and that things are not normal, and that what is really happening here, brothers and sisters, is God spoke to him. And God still speaks. And God can speak in Europe. He speaks in your heart. You're not saved. But he can speak in Europe. And Christians everywhere are looking to the Lord and not forgetting to pray for the safety of the United Kingdom. He was settled, he was shaken, and he goes on through the other verses of that chapter to talk to us about the dealing of the Lord with him. And if you look right over towards the end, it says there in verse 34, and at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. He says in verse 35, towards the end, none can stay his hand. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Don't forget that. Those who walk in pride he is able to abase. And brethren, yes, Ukraine faces an impossible situation, and in some ways the United Kingdom does too. And even here in Northern Ireland, to narrow it down again to our own situation here, the Lord is able to do much more than we think. And as an individual man or woman, whatever sea is before you today, maybe it's just a big sea of doubt, or a big sea of temptation, or a big sea of seeing difficulties everywhere, and there's no way forward. Well, the word of the Lord unto the children of Israel was, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. There was a reminder of their responsibility. There was the reaction of Moses. There's the raging wind. But then, if you look at verse 16, you will see the road. It says, but lift thou up thy rod, and stretch thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the Red Sea. Now, this is very interesting. In fact, if you want to read five times in the book of Exodus, once in Nehemiah and also in Psalm 66, it shows us there the dry ground being repeated, the dry ground situation. But when a river dries up, it takes it a long time to be rock hard. Look at chapter 15, if you would, and the verse 8. And the blast, it's Exodus chapter 15, I think, and verse 8. And the blast of his nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright in a heap, and the depths were congealed. See that? The depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The situation was now where there was that rock hardness for the children of Israel to travel over. But it's very, very important here for you and I to notice that the sea was still there. Yes, the sea was still there. There was a wall on one side of water and a wall of water on the other side. He didn't take the sea away. He didn't take them and hop them over the sea to the other side. He brought them through it. He brought them through the sea. And that's why the title this morning is, He's Able to Part Your Sea. So often in our experience, we just want the difficulties to go away. We want the sea to waken up some morning, and the sea that is before us, it isn't there anymore. But the Lord's way is bringing us through. Bringing us through the sea. That is the road. Might read quickly what it says in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8, I think it is. Yes, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. And the two went over on dry ground. Now, if you study the context there, you will see that again the Lord is working in a most remarkable way. But they did not go and look for somewhere else to cross over. They crossed over here. And Moses and the children of Israel, they crossed over where they were. Folks, I'd like you to turn to, please, to the book of Romans in chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Paul is reminding the Christians here of the love of God towards them. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's so important that we notice where it says in all these things. For the apostle and those who labored with him, and they faced all kinds of things. The sea did not just go away, but the Lord made a way through. Because it says there, they're more than conquerors through him that loved us. They're relying on the Lord. They're looking to him. And he has made a way for them. And the dry ground just amplifies the greatness of what God does. And I'm speaking to an individual. God can make a way through your sea. He was going to make a way for Israel. I wonder what would have happened if they turned to Moses and they said, listen, you can take the rod and do what you like, but we're not moving. Or if Moses had said, Lord, I'm not going to do that. If it doesn't work, they'll kill me. I wonder what would have happened. And folks, when we come to a sea, and there doesn't see, it's a cul-de-sac. There's no way out. Unless you turn back and you face the enemy right head on then. I wonder, would the Lord give to us the faith to continue to go forward? Well, let's look finally here at the reliance. The reliance in verse 29 of the chapter. It says, that's Exodus 14, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them in the right hand and on their left. He brought them through. Hebrews 11 shows us that they went through by faith. Moses went through there by faith. He brought them through. And folks, I do trust in your own experience. The Lord will depart the sea for you. Difficult days for everyone. Doesn't matter if you're a missionary or a preacher here in Northern Ireland or someone in the congregation. Difficult days. Let's pray for each other. The seas are there and they're going to be there. That is why we like to get children and young people under the word so that we can equip them to rely on the Lord when the sea is there before them. And then remember the wider picture, that the Lord will make a way in the Ukraine, that things will not escalate, and that he will bless his people there and make a way for them. I trust the Lord will bless you. A few thoughts that we've shared with you this morning.